starting to prepare some talks for a trip to Atlanta, which is in about 2 months. Hindu Temple of Atlanta is inaugurating the Shiva Temple. And invited us to go there and be the guests and give a talk and so forth. So this is on Memorial Day weekend. They already have a Balaji temple, a Vaishnava temple, and they acquired an additional 6 acres, and last year started building a totally separate Shiva temple. So interesting pattern following. I think it's probably the largest scale expression of this idea of having totally separate buildings for a temple that's a Vaishnava tradition and a temple of the Saiva tradition. It's done in a smaller way in a number of temples. They have the main temple is a Vaishnava temple, and then they have a separate smaller temple for Shiva in a number of places, like in Southern California. But this is a must be at a distance, 6 acres of land contains the Shiva temple. So it's a nice, sets a nice precedent having totally separate buildings for these two traditions. It's something, as many of you know, Gurudev was concerned about. In the U.S., there is this phenomena of sticking Shiva and Vishnu in the same temple, which is unheard of in India. The central deity is Shiva, it's a Saivite temple, or the central deity is Vishnu, it's a Vaishnava temple. So it is in India, but in the U.S., in order to accommodate the interests of both groups and accommodate the financial ability of the temple, they put them both into one building. Gurudeva felt this was very confusing. So I'm sure he's quite happy to see this being done in Atlanta. Such a nice way. So I'm in the midst of preparing 4 talks, asking me to give 1 talk on each of 4 days, half an hour talk. So I'm going to give a portion of one in a second. I'm trying to, in each talk, address 3 separate topics, so there's a certain amount of variety. One is something about Saivism and Shiva, which I'm sure they're expecting. Another is something about Hinduism in general, something which stresses some great aspect of Hinduism, why Hinduism is such a great and wise religion. And then the 3rd area is some practical suggestions, something you can actually take home with you and do, because that's always important too, to bring it down to earth in a practical way. So this talk is based upon a talk I gave in Mauritius, so it's going to sound familiar to some of you. but it's a good talk. The reason for the talk is on the nature of Lord Shiva, is that sometimes when people explain Lord Shiva, they come up with some pretty strange explanations. And so this is trying to put forward the traditional Saivite explanation of Shiva in a way that's easy to remember. Oh, put on my glasses. The first topic for today's talk is the nature of Lord Shiva. There are some who say that Lord Shiva is the destroyer, also known as Rudra, that Brahma is the creator and Vishnu is the preserver, and that Hindus believe in a trinity of 3 separate gods. This, of course, is not an accurate understanding. To understand Lord Shiva, it is helpful to refer to the fact that Hinduism has 4 major denominations or divisions: Saivism, Saktism, Smartism, and Vaishnavism, and that each calls the Supreme Being by a different name. To Saivites, the Supreme is called Shiva. Shaktis refer to the Supreme as Shakti, Smartas call the Supreme Being Brahman, and to Vaishnavas, he is Vishnu. However, the important point is that each is worshipping the same Supreme Being. The name is different, the tradition is different, but it is the same Supreme Being that is being worshipped by all Hindus. Lord Shiva, therefore, as the Supreme Being, performs all three functions, creation, preservation, and destruction. In addition to these three actions, he also performs two more actions which relate specifically to the soul. The fourth action is that he hides himself from us. Though he pervades the entire universe, though he is within us, we cannot see him. This is called his veiling grace. This is like the mother and father both playing hide and seek with their child. The game begins by the child not being able to find them. And the fifth action is that Lord Shiva eventually shows himself to us. This is called his revealing grace, and of course is like the child after much searching, successfully finding his mother and father. Each of these five actions of God Shiva has a name. Rama the creator, Vishnu the preserver, Rudra the destroyer, Maheshwara the veiling lord, and Sada Shiva the revealing lord. These five actions are also referred to often in the chants of the Shiva Puja by another set of five names. Ajojata, creator, Vamadeva, preserver, Agora, destroyer, Tatparusha, veiler, and Ishana, revealer. An effective way to explain the nature of Lord Shiva to someone who is not familiar with it is by showing the person the murti of Nataraja, the lord of dance. For in it the symbolism for all five actions is clearly present. Srishti, creation or emanation, is represented by his upper right hand and the damara, the drum, upon which he beats paranada, the primal sound from which issue forth the rhythms and cycles of creation. Stiti, preservation, is represented by his lower right hand in a gesture of blessing, abhaya mudra, saying, fear not. Samhara, destruction, dissolution or absorption, is represented by the fire in his upper left hand, posed in Ardha Chandra Mudra, half-moon gesture. Tirubhava, obscuring grace, the power which hides the truth, thereby permitting experience, growth, and eventual fulfillment of destiny, is represented by his right foot upon the prostrate person, Apasmara Purusha, the principle of ignorance, or Anava. Anugraha, revealing grace, which grants knowledge and severs the soul's bonds, is represented by Shiva's raised left foot and by his lower left hand, held in Gajahasta or elephant trunk mudra, inviting approach. Another approach to understanding God Shiva's nature is to think of him as the parent and yourself as the child. As parent, he is both father and mother to you. God Shiva is your parent because he created your soul. He is the primal or original soul who has created all other souls. In fact, God Shiva is the perfect parent because no matter what we do, Shiva always sends blessings and love to us. When we make mistakes, he never becomes angry with us or punishes us. He continues to love and bless us no matter what. God Shiva's love is perfect love, meaning it exists at all times for all souls. The goal of Hinduism is like the goal of the game of hide and seek. God has hidden himself from us, and if we keep searching diligently, we will eventually find him. And in finding God, we also find Shiva's perfect love and experience it for ourselves. There is a famous verse in the scripture Tirumandaram on this point that states, "The ignorant foolishly say that love and Shiva are two, but none of them knows that love alone is Shiva. When men know that love and Shiva are the same, love as Shiva, they ever remain."